Hello, hi, it's Imogen here, and I'm with my guest Shay Seaborn for the second of our conversations around trauma and stress and the Alexander Technique body intelligence. For today's conversation, our specific topic is about building resilience in the face of the kind of pandemic stress and trauma situation, and we'll talk more about that. I think to me it's very obvious that this is a stressful situation for most people, but Shay has some insights on how that could actually be. We might be in a pre-traumatic state, or some of us might be, and how that can lead to trauma. And we've also got five easy things that really anyone can do to kind of help build resilience in the face of stress and trauma. So Shay is a trauma survivor, but is a trauma awareness activist, right? That this is I guess kind of a passion for you right now, that is a purpose. And you have said to me that your goal is to come out of the pandemic better off than when you started. And I agree. I think that's possible. But I'd like to hear more about that later. But for the first question, we've talked about stress and trauma. What's the difference? What's the similarity? How do they relate to each other? Could you just tell us a little bit about how you
Sure.
see that? Yeah.
Well, there's no consensus among experts where stress ends and trauma begins. Generally, stress is not necessarily a negative experience. Most of life is some kind of stress. We need to do things and get through things. And when we have the resources to deal with that typical kind of stressor, everything comes along, and we have our little hiccups, but we keep going along, and our functionality is not impaired. So it's definitely a continuum. The chronic stress on one end, and post-traumatic stress, or even complex traumatic stress, post-traumatic stress on the other. And for me, I think the difference is, where those where the indicators, the symptoms, become start to impinge on your daily functioning. To me, that's where the trauma would start, especially if it's gone over a couple of weeks or longer, because then it's becoming a pattern in the system. And go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I'm kind of thinking of stress from an Alexander Technique point of view, where we're not only looking at the mind and emotional stress. It's stress, well, it's all interconnected, right? And while I wouldn't call it trauma, a lot of people's stress that they can manage and get through at a certain level, when it becomes more chronic, that's putting chronic tension patterns through the body that you might not call it trauma or stress, but you might call it back pain. Or so I guess that's somewhere along this.
Yes, actually, a lot of symptoms of trauma are physical, like that's particular types of pain, especially if they're persistent, or tend to flare up when, additional stressors are on. So that makes a lot of sense. It's very compatible with, trauma theory.
Okay. That's interesting. And I don't want to say that all back pain means
Of course not. No.
We could just be sitting on at the computer all day in a horrible way, which can cause stress, but probably not a traumatic state.
Hopefully.
Yes. So, with what is going on right now with COVID-19 and the pandemic, you had mentioned to me how you're seeing signs of this sort of pre-trauma. I don't know if I'm using the right terms, the pre-traumatic state or the beginnings of trauma, in some people that you know, even, or kind of.
Yes,
So,
well,
yeah,
it
go ahead.
starts out with, shortened temper and shortened attention span, forgetting things. And those are very typical because our brains are preoccupied with all the distressing things that we're trying to figure out how to navigate. So when that it really interferes with your life, you want to make sure that you don't let it there. And that's what I find is so wonderful about Alexander technique is it can help us avoid that trap of being, caught up in the fear cycle.
Yeah, I mean, and I definitely have noticed a few of those things in myself, that the kind of like being more snapping, maybe, at my husband, probably.
People you're cooped up with, yes.
However, I do have a tool that I can kind of see it, and I don't hopefully just stay in that pattern. It's more a moment or two, or even half an hour of being in a bad mood. But it's not a constant state.
Of course not, because you have Alexander to help you come
Mm-hmm.
back to the present and the embodied state where most of the time you're okay. There's not a constant threat. So yeah, when we learn how to respond to stress, then we don't have to react to it in ways that give us blowback by, like saying things that you regret to your husband or whatever.
Yes, I guess the goal is that it's not that these things might not happen, but it's that you don't then keep feeding those patterns or
Yes,
get
that's
yeah.
exactly the thing I love most about Alexander is you can use it any time to change that cycle of distress, to get yourself off the trauma track and onto a healthy track that's going to actually, most people probably can if they understand the biology of fear and the resources we have to deal with it rather than react to it, can come out better at the end of this, which will be a year or so, probably, according to,
Yeah, I think, well, it's certainly going to be a long while before things are quote unquote normal again, which that's a whole other
Yes,
conversation whether we want it to
it
be what was, but still more a, no, a more normal way of living our lives and interacting with other human beings. And I think one of the things you've mentioned too, which I think a lot of us recognize, is one of the normal ways we get comfort and support is through other people that we love, our friends, our family, and hugs and that kind of close. And of course, that's one thing that, for the most part, if you're not in the household with
Sorry about
people,
that.
yeah. Oh, well, we didn't hear whatever you're sorry
Oh, good. Yay.
about.
My computer's ringing because I turned my phone off so it wouldn't disturb us.
I think because you've got your headphones in, that maybe it cut
Yeah.
that out, but that's
Nice.
great. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, but that's an interesting thing, because it can be little things like that, which are normal irritations that can flare right out of proportion, right, in how we
Yes.
react to them.
And that's actually a really good benchmark. If you find yourself flaring up a lot more than you usually do, or if you flare up pretty often anyway, that's a sign of underlying stress. And it would be a really good idea to, learn how to manage that. And well, as one of our topics is how to express your feelings appropriately. First, you have to be in touch with what's going on inside of you. And for me, Alexander really helps with that. it helps me recognize and pay attention to what's happening in my felt sense and in my emotional states.
So maybe we should go straight into, because I think that's the first of the five things that we wanted to, that you'd identified as being key things for yourself that help support you, but they're very easy. I guess there's kind of different levels you can go into them, but they're quite accessible. So the first one I have written down was what you mentioned, that you recognize your feelings and can express them appropriately. Do you want to say anything else about that? Do you kind of just talked about it?
we are emotional creatures, and we have strong reactions to particular things, especially if they're related to people that we love or things that we feel strongly about. So if we have a strong reaction to something and we try to hold it in, that can set in the nervous system and make it, you know, like wire you for traumatic stress. Studies of first responders show that if they are able to express their terror, disgust, horror, repulsion or whatever they're feeling when they come to this horrific accident scene, if they're able to express it in that time, they don't end up with PTSD. It's the repression of it, because you're not completing the trauma release cycle if you're stuffing it in.
So the appropriately seems quite an important word, because obviously if the first responder came to the scene and completely flipped out because it's so endless, that wouldn't be very helpful to them actually responding as a first responder should. So are you talking about be just some way of expressing or having a moment of tears or
If you can just stop for a second and recognize your inner state and go, oh, this is horrible, this is terrifying, I have this feeling in my body, that can make a big difference. I don't know the details of exactly how the first responders do it. I'd like to know, because it's probably some really good techniques, but one of the things I've learned through my work with my somatic experiencing therapist is that when you imagine you're screaming as loud as you can, your body doesn't know the difference, but your voice box does. So if you know, see a horrific traffic accident and you can't, you know, I guess if you're wearing all your PPE as a first responder, you could go and nobody would know, but your body would feel that stress release and help you process through to, you know, being able to take care of that person after you took care of yourself.
Was also noticed when you were speaking, it sounded like you were also describing being able to be an observer of your own feelings, not just being in them. Like I am noticing, for instance, that I feel very upset by this, or which is different from just feeling it and maybe repressing it, and there's that level of, I mean, that's a mindfulness tool, being able to observe what you're feeling or thinking, and it helps you acknowledge it without being kind of right in it.
It's a very important thing to learn how to do.
And
that's, again, Alexander helps me do that.
I mean, Alexander is a really wonderful tool for helping you become a better observer of yourself and what's going on in you mentally, physically, emotionally. So
without any pressure or any judgment or any coercion, it's really wonderful.
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you said that, because I think the other important thing in this, and maybe that's all part of the being able to express appropriately, is self-compassion as a component, because we can also beat ourselves up. Oh no, I shouldn't be feeling angry now. And then you've just added this layer of other frustration on top. That's that's and judgment and you know,
yeah, that kind of self-judgment can be actually worse than the original situation, especially if you perpetuate it against yourself for years. I should have done this, you know, for years afterward. That's just setting, it's cultivating inside you the same environment of fear that caused the original problem.
Right. Okay, so that's a tip or key thing number one, is to be able to recognize and express your feelings appropriately. So number two, I've put, you wrote to me, focus on things that invoke a feeling of goodness inside you. So would you care to elaborate on that? I like the sound of it.
Yeah. It's kind of like Alexander, where it's you know, open-ended. It's all about what your needs are and how you respond to things. Some people think they feel good when they're using their, you know, all caps and telling somebody off, or, you know, pulling a power play on somebody, or trying to control other people. That's not really feeling. It might make you feel good. Basically, what you're doing is enjoying a dopamine rush, which is, you know, very reptilian kind of pleasure. But we have, you know, two brains higher than that, and we can enjoy interpersonal interactions at a very different level than an alligator. go ahead.
That's really interesting, thinking about that again from my Alexander perspective. And, you know, if I was working with someone, for instance, who was doing that, of course they would have to be open to this.
Yes.
But I would have them notice what's going on in their body when they're engaged in these angry responses online, or you know, letting rip on somebody or whatever it is, because I suspect there's a lot of tension in that.
You know, you just even when you're talking about it, I can see you tensing up some.
Yeah,
like, you're,
because it,
you know, that feeling, we all do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
and that's really key, and I think it might and tie actually, into your next point.
Yes. Well, actually, Alexander's helped me back off on my, I don't have a caps lock bar, so I can't do that. But the level of engagement that I was involved in, say on Facebook a few years ago, compared to now, is very, very different. I don't get caught up in, you know, arguing with somebody who's diametrically opposed, and you know, pointing out, you know, you lost the argument when you called me a name because ad hominem attacks or the da, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And now I either have a thoughtful conversation or I don't enter it. Like if somebody goes, oh yeah, he's a poopy head, and da, 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 I just scroll on by, just let it go. And it feels so much better to be me without that kind of stress inside me.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, and there can be times when you choose that this is worth engaging, and you can do it in a more conscious way, or a choiceful, word, way.
Yes.
I'm thinking this is one thing that Alexander technique brings to people who study it, is you are more aware of how the things, anything that you do, affects your whole being.
Yes.
And so it helps you then make more helpful choices in what you might do some of the time.
Yeah. I mean, some of the time, right? And that's really what it's about. You know, just keep coming back to it. We're human beings. Most of the time we're going to be off course. I like to think of it like the, like with sailing, of course, you know, you have a course that you want and you set out for it, but most of the time you're not actually on it. So you just keep constantly making small adjustments every time you notice you're a little off course. Oh,
right.
I'm a little off course. Let me come back.
That's
to where
really
I need to go.
Oh, I love that analogy, because it's just like, oh, when I notice, then I can bring myself back. But you're not like
Yeah, you can't
focus
stare
on
at the compass or the captain will lean
that.
down and give you a funny look. Because she
Yeah.
can tell you're not doing, you know, you're not focusing on what's ahead. So yes, it's a really good metaphor. And yeah, the next point about removing toxic influences.
Yes. So let's go to that. That's number three, removing toxic influences.
Which,
yeah.
you know, I just described one in a way. Mm-hmm. I didn't remove anybody or anything from my life. I just changed how I related to those particular kind of posts that, you know, would normally tick me off or the kind of people. And I have to say laughter yoga helps. You know, helps me laugh at it now. You know, I just go, oh, people, and you know, move on. And it feels really good.
So that's kind of a bit of changed your relationship to that that way that you might have responded
mm-hmm.
in the
and,
past.
And like yeah. you said, I you know, I'm a trauma awareness activist. And so, you know, by nature, I'm somebody who, has a lot of emotions and has a lot to say and a lot to express. And I find that because I'm not, you know, being the keyboard warrior, oh, I have time to do other things that actually have a positive effect on mm. other people and help spread the word about trauma and the need for awareness. So it's making me more effective. And gosh, that's a lot more satisfying than a momentary dopamine hit.
Absolutely. So as far as removing other toxic influences, I know you've mentioned news before, mm-hmm. like not, you know, not following the news 24/7.
Yes. Yes. Well, if you have the TV on in your house as a background noise and you've got it on the news channels, you're bringing into your house stories that are chosen for their emotional impact, brought to you by people who are doing everything they can to pique your emotional tie-in, because that's how they sell you to the advertisers who pay their big salaries. So take a hard look at anything like that you're bringing into your house that you're kind of using as a habit. And right. and notice what kind of effect it's having on you, and decide is this what I want to cultivate in me? Because don't ever underestimate the power of influence of anything in your environment.
Yeah, yeah. Good. We better move on. I knew this was probably going to be a bit of
yes.
a longer one. So number four is connect with others, which is more challenging right now, but mm-hmm. More important as well. To do it in safe ways. So what are you suggesting?
Well, safety first, of course. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, there's no better time to be in a pandemic, because we have alternatives to in-person meetings. Of course, in-person is the best if we can. I haven't seen my kids since Christmas, and I'm not sure I'll see them before September. So that's really hard for me, but we have all kinds of apps that we can use. Even a text message can help resource us. When you get a text message from your kid and it's got a picture of her little herb garden that she just replanted, and she's so excited because she got lavender in it, you know, it just makes you feel good inside.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm from England, and my two best friends in the world are in England, and just getting little texts from them, we do video chat, but it just really helps. It helps us. We feel connected, and then mm-hmm. you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And video is wonderful in its ways, if you're mindful mm-hmm. of how you use it and the pitfalls. We've been seeing articles about Zoom burnout. One-on-one things like we're doing here are probably the best, because we can actually understand that we're making eye contact with each
yeah.
other, and the pictures are big enough. We can see each other and pick up on all the facial changes that give us cues and help us read each other's neurobiology. And the phone as well works quite well, especially if you're not comfortable with video. My favorite thing is to meet up with somebody, you know, outside. Mm-hmm. I saw a friend yesterday drop some things off for her, and she was in her drive in her garage at the far end, and I was outside, and we're like, "Hi!" Yeah. It was really nice.
Yeah, to actually see her in person. Number five, well, the last one: access the support you already have.
That's a really important thing to look around and think about what support you have, the people, the resources that you can tap into, like Alexander Technique. Mm-hmm. To lead into our little exercise, the environment that you're in can offer you a lot of support if you want that perspective, if you want to take that perspective. I like it because, like I said before, my place is made to support me. This is all, you know, all the decorative items, et cetera, are things that make me feel good. But also I like the idea of the, some Native American, cultures believe that everything is alive and related to us. And I think, wow, if I grew up, you know, believing that, you know, the creek was my sister and the trees were my brothers, I'd never feel alone or lonely or unconnected. And I think having a sense of place and support from that place can help us feel a little less unconnected in these times.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I was going to just do a little brief exercise, if you like, or a little guided something, using the idea of taking note of the ground or the physical support that we have, being aware of the space around us. And I might not be thinking in the way you're thinking about it as noting the, it's kind of a much more, like when I'm noticing the space, I'm actually thinking about the space rather than the things in the space. Mm-hmm. But I think it's related. And I think what they both do, which is helpful to anyone who's feeling stress, is it brings you here now in the present, because stress is basically when we're going over something from the past, or mm-hmm. we're catastrophizing or worrying about something that we think may be going to happen in the future. And so having moments where we're actually present helps interrupt that, right?
Yes, and so, it helps build the kind of nervous system we want to have when we come out of this.
Yeah. So I just thought this will take 1 minute, if that, maybe less. But if everyone or anyone who is, and see there's a few people watching with us, but anyone watching the replay too, just wherever you are right now, if you just notice your contact with the surface that is supporting you, the ground under your feet, the chair that you're resting on, bed, couch, whatever it is for you. And then the thought that I think is helpful, you can think, is I am free to accept the support of the ground. The ground is there supporting you. And then expand your awareness to the space around you. There's the space in front of you, between you and this screen, and the space beyond the screen, which may be mind-blowing.
Mine is.
Yeah. The space behind you, the space to the right and left of you, the space above you, space below you. And just having that awareness of the space helps us also be more spacious in ourselves, which is letting go of the contraction that comes with tension. So you can think to yourself, I am free to be aware of the space all around me. So you've got the ground and you've got the space, and I think that's a really beautiful pairing that you can just come back to in any moment. It can be much briefer than what we just did. Did it even just, I mean, you're very, very familiar with this, but did that shift things in the moment where we kind of stopped?
Yes, of course.
So it
always brings me back to the here and now and helps me feel more embodied. I noticed that I was noticing the space and the things.
Yeah,
because and you taught me, you know, about the space, but through, you know, my traumatic experiencing, somatic experiencing
therapy. Let's not mix those up.
Yeah. I've added another layer to it with, you know, recognizing the connection between me and the person who made, you know, this object that I love and the person behind it. That helps me build a sense of safety inside.
That's interesting. And the what we touched on last time is this idea of noticing ease, which is really key to my work. And this is a relative thing. It's just something that it's really an idea, but just tapping into something that might feel a little better, might feel good, might feel more comfortable than the focus that we normally have. And this ties into feeling supported, spacious. And so I think those things set the tone. But I also wanted to bring that back to your first point, which was to recognize your feelings. The second point, focusing on things that invoke a feeling of goodness inside you. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking that noticing the ease that is there ties into that. And I also think when we're noticing the objects around us that we love and enjoy or support us, there's a sense of ease that can bring mm-hmm. too. There's ease in the space.
Yes, and neurobiologically, of course, any time that you are focusing your energy on anything but all the wheels spinning, mm-hmm. you're getting yourself off of that track.
Yeah. And that is perfect that you mentioned that, because we keep thinking of more and more topics that we can talk about. But next week, we thought we would get into Shay's really delved into the neuroscience and neurobiology of trauma, and keeps coming to me and saying, oh, well, look, this is what we do when we're in the Alexander class and we're doing this. I find these tie-ins to some of the things we're doing, how they tie into how the neuroscience is speaking about it, fascinating. So we'll just sort of get into that.
Okay, I'm ready. Week. You know, that's one of my favorite things to talk about. Well, how Alexander's in line with what we know in modern neuroscience. It's just so exciting.
Yeah. So thank you for all of you who've joined us today or who are watching on the replay. If you're interested in my way of working and the little exercise we did with the ground and the space, piqued your interest, I have a free Facebook group called the Body Intelligence Community. And we go into things like this, and every Thursday I guide what I call a little power pause and use ideas like this to just help you stop and be present for a minute or two and get a little bit more at ease in yourself.
I like the power pauses, because even if I miss one, which I usually do because I don't know, Facebook doesn't tell me it's time, but then I can go to it any time, you know, go, oh, I could use a power pause right now. Let me turn on Imogen here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, yeah. So they're there afterwards for, you know, if you really wanted to, you could go back in the video archives of the group and you'd have a power pause for every day for a long, I've been doing for them for 2 or 3 years every Thursday. So All right. Thank you so much, Jay, for doing these conversations with me. And I am looking forward to our next one.
Thank you, Imogen. It's always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to it too.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.